So, good morning, 514. Have a seat. Get comfortable. My name is David McCrary. I don't have a title here. 7 years, I still don't have a title. Ryan comes out, I'm the student leader, and Carmen, I'm whatever she is, and I'm the village idiot sticks. That seems to be what we're going with. Glad you guys are here. Thanks for coming out on Memorial Day. I know that when you do a message, props are very important, so I've got props over here. We'll get to those. I even have a child prop. This one is called Noah Beezer. We'll get to him in a minute. When I talked to Joel a couple weeks ago about, I'm like, Joel, what should I preach about? What should I talk on? He suggested Romans 8:28. I'm like, all right, that's a popular verse. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Awesome. That should be fairly simple. Everybody knows that verse, or at least knows a little bit of that verse. This is good. Okay. I'll nail this one. And then I got looking into it. I'm like, whoa, this is going to be tough. This is going to be a tough verse. As a matter of fact, as I started looking into this verse, I read that a prominent pastor around World War II time actually declared this to be the toughest verse in the Bible to believe. This one. You know, we got verses about talking snakes and the world being flooded and people raising from the dead. No, that's fine. This one is hard to believe. And we'll get to why it's hard to believe in a minute. But first, I want to do some magic. And this will all make sense in just a little bit. Everybody say hey to Noah for me. Noah, show him. We'll get a close-up here. Noah's got a neck tattoo, right? Right there, you see that neck tattoo? Did that hurt, Noah? Did that hurt?
Yeah, you poked my eye.
Not when I just poked you. Did it hurt when you got the... All right, we're winging it, folks. All right, so I set this up. We wanted to make this look like a dinner table. Just me, I'm not letting him eat. All right, here we go. The idea here is, Noah, I'm going to push a coin. I've got a coin here, I got a 50-cent piece. I'm going to push a coin through the table. Right there, do like that on the table for me. Solid, right? Okay, you guys see that okay? You see the coin? So here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna push that coin through the table, all right? Now, because I can't just let it happen like this, if it happens like this, you guys will see it, you'll freak out, you'll run out of here screaming because it's crazy. I've gotta cover it up. But if I use my hands, I'll cheat. So what I do is I gotta cover it up, and I'll grab like a salt shaker. So you can't see it, can you?
Well, I can.
You can see it? Okay. Oh, it's okay. So here's what we do. I'm going to put a curtain around it. So like when David Copperfield, growing up, I watched David Copperfield on TV, and he would bring an elephant on stage, but he wouldn't just make it disappear. He'd put a curtain around it. So we're going to put a curtain around this coin. So let's do that. Drop this around the... There we go. So now it's like if this was a big stage and that's an elephant, this is our curtain coming down on top of it. Now the idea here, Noah, is do you know any magic words?
Abracadabra.
Abracadabra, that's a good one. What? Please? Did you say please? He said please. How adorable is that? So this hand goes underneath. Stop stealing the show, Noah. This hand goes underneath just to catch the coin. As it goes through the table. Here we go. We'll start off with abracadabra. You ready? Abracadabra. Just like that. That's it. And that coin has gone through the table. No, I see that, Noah. You don't have to point it out. He's got to be heads down. That was my fault. He needs to see where he's going. Noah, another magic word. You want to try please?
Yeah, sure.
Let's try please. Here we go. Please? Oh, you've got to be kidding me. What about one more? You got one more?
Thank you.
Thank you. That's a good one. Here we go. Thank you. No idea how that happened. Forget it, Noah. Noah! This 50-cent piece is, it means something to me. But because you helped me out today, I want you to take this napkin home as a souvenir. And listen, If you put that napkin under your bed, like under your pillow tonight, when you wake up in the morning, there'll be a $5 bill there, Jim. round of applause for Noah, everybody. Good work, bud. Fleur, where's Fleur? There's Fleur. Go find Fleur. She'll take you back to the back. Yeah, watch your step. Don't trip over it. Don't knock the guitar down. That'd be terrible and funny. So we'll get to this in a minute. We'll get to this in a minute. But let's go back to this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. It's a tough verse. In October of 2014, I came walking into the church office. I believe it was a Wednesday. I'm walking in the church office, I think in the afternoon, and nobody was there but Joel. It was just Joel, and he's sitting, not even sitting in his office. He was sitting in a different office, and he's on his phone. I could tell something was going on. I could tell something was wrong. I didn't let that affect me, of course. I cracked a joke about something. I said something. I probably made fun of his clothes or something, and I didn't get the reaction I expected from him. And so I asked him, I said, what's wrong? And he's looking at his phone. He said, we had a couple from the church who lost their child today. Instantly sick to my stomach. But in my head, in that moment, I'm thinking, okay, this must be an older couple, because if somebody passed away, they must be older. That's in my head. So I didn't ask right away about the age, but then I realized that he said child, and why would you call somebody older a child? It didn't make sense to me. So as he's reading, he's like, I got to go to their house. I got to go. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this had just happened. So he says, do you want to go with me? And I said, yes, of course. And that was a lie. I didn't want to go. I didn't. I mean, I like I said, I was sick to my stomach. I didn't know what I was going to say. I was probably going to just bawl like an idiot the whole time. And he shows me the map on his phone. He goes, it's out in Pataskala. And I'm like, well, that's where I live. And he goes, it's right here. Do you know this road? I'm like, that's my neighborhood. So as a matter of fact, that's my house right there. Turns out they lived like half a mile from my house, if that. So I hadn't met this couple yet, the Smalls Reeds, Thomas and Kelsey. So I say, yeah, let's go. So we jump in the car, and we head towards Pataskala. We head to my house. I jump out of my car and jump into his truck, and we drive the half mile down to their place. And on that short distance, he filled me in. Olivia had passed away. She was almost two. She had passed away in her sleep. Didn't know why. Obviously, Thomas and Kelsey were devastated. And both Joel and I are just speechless. So as we pull around the corner, we know instantly what house is theirs. There's still a cop car there. There's other cars there. It's obviously friends and family. And Joel pulls up. A lot of stuff going on up there. And Joel's like, stay here. I'll go up for now. Just stay in the car for a minute. I'm like, okay. So he goes up, and as he gets out of the car, I can still remember, as he's walking away from me, I start praying. I'm praying for Joel. I'm praying for this family that I don't even know yet. I'm just praying. And while I'm sitting there, the house is here, and I'm facing this way, and the neighbor comes home and pulls into the driveway, and I can tell I'm watching her, and as she gets out, she looks over her car, and she's looking like, okay, something's going on there. I don't know what's going on. As she walked to her front porch, somebody from Thomas and Kelsey's walked over and met her on the front porch, and I couldn't hear what was going on. I just saw them talking, and I saw the neighbor crumble to the ground. And this whole time, I'm like, what is going on? Why is this going on? Joel texts me a few minutes later, and he says, just go on home, and I'll be down in a minute. And just, like I said, there was a bunch of stuff going on. In that time, I saw the police officers leave. I saw friends and family come and go. So I walked back home. Like I said, we're really close. So I walked back home. A couple minutes later, Joel comes walking in. We didn't say anything to each other. We just sat there. You know, both of us kind of thinking, why? Why did this have to happen? One thing Joel said, and I had already come to the conclusion, was that my small group needs to go down to their house that night. We actually met. That was the day that we met. So my small group, actually I called my wife and I told her what happened, and she was, oh my gosh, that was not an easy call. She checked Olivia in the back every week. So I told her we need to go down with the small group. So we did. The small group came over. Nobody in the small group knew the Smalls Reeds. So we go down that night. It's dark. They weren't expecting us. It's dark. We get there, and they're kind of outside family. You can hear people crying. And we walk up, and we introduce ourselves, and we prayed with them. We cried with them. We hugged them. And then we left. You know, I've got a small group that has a lot of people that grew up in church. They know the Bible, but nobody really knew what to say. And what can you say in that moment? So we loved on them, told them to let us know if there's anything you need, and we went home. And as we get back to our house, it's just quiet again, just like when me and Joel were there early, just quiet. And all of us, I know all of us were kind of thinking, why does this have to happen? Why is this going on? And that's a question that for the next few days, like, drove me nuts. I wanted to know why. Why, God? Why is this going on? But I kept coming back to this verse. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Okay, but I was angry. I didn't know this family a few days ago, but now I'm angry over what happened to them. You know, and over the next couple days, I learned more about Thomas and Kelsey. I learned that Thomas was studying to be a medic, a firefighter. He helped save people's lives. He's a veteran. I mean, he was frontline Afghanistan. He's got stories that'll freak you out, fighting the Taliban, front lines. Man, he's done so much for others. Why did this happen to him? Kelsey, this really got me. Kelsey is a nurse that helps deliver babies. So in other words, Kelsey just went through the worst day of her life, lost a child, and when she does go back to work, she's got to be there for their best day of the life when they're bringing their child into the world. God, that's cruel. That was my thought, but I kept coming back to this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. I wanted to tell them that, but man, if we don't fully understand this, it's kind of just like a Band-Aid. You just kind of go down. I'd see me walking down there. Hey, guys, don't worry. All things will work out. And then walk away. So, we're going to turn the corner here. We're going to talk about this verse. And this is it. This is the message for today. Just this verse. We're not going to do any others, really. We're just going to look at this one. We're going to tear it apart. And we're going to finally, when we get done, we're going to make sure that this is not the hardest verse in the Bible to believe. So we'll break it down. We'll break it down to like four spots. The first two are simple, easy to get, and we'll get through those really quick. The first one is Paul writes, and we know. So this is a promise. It's a promise that we know. It doesn't say, and we kind of have a feeling that, or, and we know that sometimes, and we know. So it's a promise. Understood. I can get with that. For those who love God. Okay, so it's a promise with a condition. It's for believers. For those of us who are Christ followers, who are Christians, this is a promise for us. Good. Everything's good so far. It goes on to this, and this is where it gets a little more difficult. All things work together for good. Okay? Let me tell you why this verse is tough to believe. Because there's other verses in the Bible where you talk about the snake and Jonah being swallowed by a whale and Jesus doing miracles, you're like, okay, that's at a distance. That's God being God and doing his thing. He can do anything. I get it. I'm cool. I believe you. When it comes to something like this, a verse that's very personal to us and a promise to us, we tend to pick it apart just a little bit. One thing we do, and I don't even know if it's believers that do this or the outsiders looking at, I don't want to call them outsiders, but the non-believers, they may take a version of this and twist it around a little bit. Like when they see something wrong going, something in your life going wrong or going bad, they use like a perverse version of this verse. And it's kind of like, hey, shouldn't everything be great for you? Where's God? Isn't things should be great for you, right? All things are good because you're a Christian. Ah, no, we take out a few words. All things are good? No, it doesn't say that. It absolutely does not say that. It says all things work together for good. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us that we will be persecuted. We will go through tough times. It will be tough. So once we understand that, okay, things aren't going to be great for us just because we've accepted Christ into our life, and we actually read it word for word, all things work together for good. Then the math comes in, and that's where it falls apart. Because if you look at this, If it said all good things work together for good, it'd be the shortest sermon ever. It'd be like, guys, all good things equal more good things. Good night. Enjoy your lunch. You'll be there before anybody else, and I'd leave. Right? That makes sense. Good plus good plus good plus good equals good. Durr. Yeah, that's easy to believe. This says all things work together. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. All things work together for good. Good plus bad plus good plus bad equals good. What? That's Common Core makes more sense than that. Nobody gets Common Core. You know, and when it gets to that point where we have to understand that the good things in our life and the bad things in our life work together, God works them together for good, it gets to a trust issue. We have to trust that God loves us, that in Him being God and our Father, He's doing what He does to better us. I can remember when Sebastian was younger, having to take Sebastian to get a shot, whether it was his vaccination shots or his, you know, if he had something, I don't know. My wife just told me, take him for a shot. But I remember I would have to hold him. You know, I'm talking like wrap my legs around his legs, hold his arms down while he got a shot. He's screaming. And I can just imagine in his little head him thinking, why, Daddy? Why are you letting this happen to me? Why are you letting them do this to me? And believe me, I know a lot of you were probably in the same boat at one point, and you will be someday. That hurt me a lot more than it hurt him, holding my kid there like that and letting them hurt him. But I knew that through this bad thing, he was going to be better. He had to trust me because I love him. Here's the deal. I feel like everybody in this room has an okay butt. I wish you didn't. But I feel like at least at one point, everybody in here has had an okay butt. Even Joel, Pastor Joel. I don't know where he is, but nope, I thought you were Joel. You're not Joel. I'm sure Pastor Joel has had an okay butt at one point. Let me show you what an okay butt looks like. I don't want to turn around. All things work together for good. Okay. But what about the fact that I just lost my job? All things work together for good. Okay, but what about the fact that my kid just dropped out of high school? All things work for good. Okay, but what about the fact that my marriage is falling apart? It's a trust issue. No matter what you're going through, as a believer, you have to trust that things are going to work out for the better. So here we are. This is it. This is the big reveal. We titled this The Reveal. This is it. This is the end game right here. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. His purpose. Simply put, God's idea of good and our idea of good may not line up. I mean, it should. It should line up. We should be striving to work into His plan, but a lot of times it doesn't. Have you ever done something like this? You think, oh my gosh, I just lost a job. But that's okay. God will give me a better one. Maybe, I don't know. He doesn't promise that. My wife just left me. That's okay. My God will give me a better one. So I didn't mean to look at you, hon, when I said that. I looked in that direction. I did not mean that. That is the better one, so... It's hot. It's hot in here, right? It is hot. Where was I? I have no idea what I was talking. We say that. We're like, okay, when we read this promise, we automatically think that He's going to take the bad things and make them better. He's going to instantly restore us. He's going to take the pain away. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that all things become good. The reveal is this, for those who are called according to His purpose. His purpose, and once I tell you this, this verse should be, and once we understand this, this verse should be a lot easier to believe. God's good is for us to become more like him. That's it. That's the reveal. That's his end game through all that we go through, the good, the bad, the ugly. All comes to this. He wants us to be more like him. And shouldn't we want that as believers? Shouldn't we want to be more like Christ? I mean, that's our goal. So when it comes to the bad times in our life, especially the bad times, instead of hollering out and asking, why, God, we need to say, how, God? How do I take this situation that you put me into, or that I've fallen into, not that you put me into, but I've fallen into, and use it to further your kingdom? How? He wants to make us better. So he's not going to take the bad situations and things and make them better. He's going to take the bad situations and things and make us better through them. And once we understand that and fully get that verse, then it's a lot easier to believe. It's a good promise. This is a very good promise. We just need to know what the reveal is. Actually, it goes on. I'm not going to put the verse up there, but it goes on in Romans 8:29 to talk about us being conformed into the image of his son, to be more like Christ. That's the reveal. That explains what his purpose is. So, before we get into anything else, I'm going to do something. I'm going to break the number one rule in magic. I'm going to tell you how I did this. You know what I need? Can somebody run to the back in here? I've got a paper towel, just a paper towel, a good-sized paper towel. Thank you, Nikki. I'm gonna explain how I do this trick. And not only gonna explain how I do it, I'm gonna explain why I do what I do within the trick. Now, this is a simple trick that I do, like, if kids are around. I don't do a lot of kids' magic. I perform mostly for adults and corporate events, that kind of thing. But kids really like this. Noah is a little jaded because I've taught him a lot of magic. So he probably knew everything that was going on. He's probably going to tell me how terribly I did it back there. I hear Nikki. Thank you, Nikki. Awesome. Round of applause for Nikki, everybody. Thank you. So I want to show you how, like, in my world, elements come together to get to my end goal. My end goal when I do magic, like take this trick for example. My end goal wasn't to get the coin to go through the table. It wasn't even to get the pepper shaker through the table. My end goal was to entertain. It was to fool you. It was to make you laugh, make you feel like a kid again. It was to entertain. So I've got all these elements built into this trick that makes that happen. Now don't for a second think that I'm comparing God's good in our life to a silly little magic trick. I just thought it would be fun to kind of show you in my world how elements come together and loosely tie them in to how a plan comes together for the reveal. So this is it. This is in the Magician's Alliance. I don't even know if there's a if that's a thing. They shouldn't get mad at me. I think they revealed this actually on the Disney Channel a while back. So here's the deal. It starts off with misdirection. Are you guys looking at the screen? Should I look here? Does it make sense? The misdirection is this coin. I tell the kid that I'm going to push this coin through the table. I am never going to push that coin through the table. But if I walked out here and I said, "Hey, I'm going to push this salt shaker through the table," they're going to watch that salt shaker the entire time. Now, here's the other reason you don't tell them about the salt shaker is because, it's called a kicker ending. And that means the ending is better than what you expected. So in other words, I'm going to tell you this is going to go through the table. That would be cool. But if at the end this actually goes through the table, mind blown. So if you do it well. So here's what we do. I put that on there, and I've got the salt and pepper shaker there. And I tell you that I need to cover the coin. So when I cover it, I never mention the salt shaker. I never say anything about the salt shaker. I just grab it, and I set it on there so I know that the kid or the person across from me can see it. Can you guys see the coin from it's there. Whoever's sitting up here can see the coin sticking out. And I know it's there. I want them to say, "Wait a minute, I can see it," because I need an excuse to wrap it up. So if they don't say anything, I'll say, you guys can't see it, can you? And I look around, oh, you can. So I move this off to the side, out of view, and I say, I say, we're going to put a curtain around the coin. I'm putting a curtain around the salt shaker, but I'm not talking about the salt shaker. I'm talking about the coin. I want you focused on this. So we'll put a curtain around this. And I talk about Copperfield having the elephant on stage, and we're gonna bring a curtain around this. So here's what I do. I still don't even mention this. I keep talking about the corn, the coin. And I said, we're gonna drop a curtain around the coin. Still don't talk about the salt shaker. Salt shaker means nothing to me. So I wrap it up, and you wrap it up kind of tight. I mean, it doesn't have to be super tight, but not super loose either. And once you've got it around the bottom, you can tie this part, just twist this around pretty tight. So here's the cool thing. Look at this. It makes a shell. So this goes on top. That goes there. Here in a second, I'm going to drop this salt shaker into my lap, okay? But I gotta build some stuff up here. I keep talking about the coin. I even set this off to the side. So all right, here we go. We're gonna make this coin fall through the table. I'm gonna hold this hand underneath just to catch the coin. This hand is gonna get the salt shaker in a minute, but it goes underneath. And so I do this. I put this on top. I gotta make sure I'm back a little bit so that the salt shaker falls into my lap. And this is a little tougher because I'm really close to this table. Usually you have a little bit of area for it to drop. But I do this. I set this on top, loud enough for it to be heard, just to remind them one more time that the salt shaker's under there. You know what? Let me do this. Let me face you guys. How's that? So I tell them the salt shaker's, or the coin's going to go through the table. So now I wave my hand over it. I don't do anything the first time. Wave my hand over it. I say abracadabra. Kids love saying magic words. And then I do this, and I pull back. And I bring it back here to where here in a second I'm going to drop it, but I don't drop it the first time. I just want them to get used to seeing this come to the back. So I do this. I set it down so you can hear it. And I say, the funny line is to, he's got to be heads down. That way he sees where he's going. For some reason, parents like that. Because it's stupid. So now I do it again. Now here's the deal. What just happened is bad. I mean, I told him the coin was gonna go through the table, and in his mind, it didn't. That's bad. That's bad in his mind, but for me, it's good because I'm getting there. I'm building to something better. So I do it again. I say, now do you know another magic word? Hocus pocus. I do hocus pocus. Now when I bring it back, before I lift it off of there, I'm saying, yep, it's gone. Look. And I tell him to look, because I want him looking there, because when I bring this back, I'm dropping that into my lap, and I set it down there. It just drops right into my lap. So now I sit back, I just grab the salt shaker, and now I can do whatever I want. This is super. As long as he didn't see it, I'm good now. So I'll do this. Sometimes you can time it, if you time it right, where you tap the salt shaker. Nobody ever notices, but I do it, because it freaks me out. So anyways. So now, a lot of times, I'll get them to come closer. Look, here we go. That coin's going to go through. And then if you smash that, and then just drop the salt. And just walk away. And the kids freak out. It's so much fun. You got to try it. Don't try it at lunch today, because you're going to eat with people that are here right now. They're going to think you're an idiot. We know what you're doing. We were sitting next to you when he explained it. So that's it. That's how a simple little magic trick, like I said, don't think for a second I'm comparing that to what God's doing in our life, but that's how, in my world, a plan comes together for good, for my good, for my ultimate goal. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So the week after... The week after we went as a small group down to Thomas and Kelsey's, they joined our small group. And in the next year and a half, we laughed with them, we cried with them, we lifted them up, they lifted us up, we shared life together. They're still in our small group. It's good. We celebrated with them when they had Olivia's baby sister, Abigail, last October. Abigail is 7 months old now, and she's absolutely awesome. Like I said, we walked through life with them for the past year and a half. And I could drop in something now about It's good to be in a small group. I hope you're getting that, because I'm not going to go that direction. I want to talk about them. Even though we did life with them, I never really had a chance to sit down and ask them until this week. Last week, they were walking. I said, walk down to my house. I want to talk to you guys. I asked them if I could tell their story. They came down, Abigail, Thomas, Kelsey, and Beeg. That's their dog. I think his name's Eagle. We call him Beeg, big dog. They come down, and we're sitting out on my back patio, and I said, guys, is God living up to his promise? I'm pretending to do stuff while I, yeah, this is in the wrong place. It's just... The answer was absolutely. He is absolutely keeping his promise. And the whole time I'm talking to Kelsey, she's got a big smile on her face. Thomas is playing with the dog because the dog's crazy. They just seem happy. Now, don't get me wrong. The pain is still there. How could it not be? But the hope they find in this verse gets them through. Kelsey told me they have to believe this. They have to believe it because it's such an inspiration. Thomas now is continuing his medic and firefighter stuff. That guy is the busiest guy I've ever met in my life. He's going to school. He's working at different places. He's going to start working at the zoo on like the medic team at the zoo. It's just all kinds. He is always doing something. He's a good man. Kelsey told me that the ladies she works with continue to tell her that they cannot believe how strong she is. After going through what she's gone through, they cannot believe where she's at. They see Christ in her. Kelsey now offers to work in the fetal demise unit at the hospital. That's the unit where the women that come in are... Or their child is stillborn, or the child isn't expected to live long after, and Kelsey offers to work there. Why? Because it's what she does. The very reason that I got upset because she had to go back to that place is what God's using now to change lives. God's good is for us to be more like him. Kelsey is doing amazing things at that hospital, being there for those women. We need to understand that God's good is for us to be more like him. It's a good, good verse. In your life, do you see the good? I mean, please tell me, in Thomas and Kelsey, you see the good that's happening in their life. You see this promise being fulfilled. And just that little clippet of a story that I told you. Is the good happening in your life? I'm sure it is. If you're a believer, it is because it's a promise. I told you at the beginning, it's a promise for believers. So I'm going to ask right now, where are you? You know, maybe you've been to church. You've been to 514 for a few weeks. Maybe today's your first day. Maybe you've been here for a long time. Do you love God? And we know for those who love God, I'm not talking like a long distance love. I'm talking, do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? Because it comes down to that. This promise is for a believer. Man, he wants a relationship with you. If you've been putting it off, today could be the day that you start that relationship with Christ. So I'm going to, just real quickly, I'm going to just, for those of you who want to pray this prayer and invite Christ into your life, I'm going to tell you what to pray. I want you to, I mean, if you got to mean this. And don't think for a minute, I got to get my life right before I do this. I can't come to God now. I'm hungover. No, please, come on. He wants you just as you are. And then his good will work in your life. So if you're at that point now, and maybe right now your heart's beating, you're like, oh, okay, this is it. I knew this was coming. I don't know if I should do this. Say this prayer. God, I don't totally understand everything right now, but I know that I need you. I know that I'm a sinner. God, I ask that you forgive me of those sins and live in my life. I invite you in right now to my life to guide me, to help me become more like you. That's it. If that's a prayer you prayed and you meant that and you want that relationship, welcome to the family. And watch how God works his good in your life. It's a good verse. It's a powerful verse. It's one we can count on. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your promise. Thank you for loving us enough to give us such an amazing promise like this. I just pray that you'll reveal to us, for those of us going through bad times right now, you reveal today the good that you've got for our life. Make us more like you. When we walk down the street, let people see you in us. God, I lift up Thomas and Kelsey to you today. Thank you for working in their lives. Thank you for making them strong. Thank you for being so evident. Thank you for drawing them closer to you. I know, God, as we've prayed with them, that there's still, every once in a while, there's still that fear that bad things can happen. I just pray that you'll just comfort them and take that fear from them. I pray that you just keep your hand on Abigail as she grows up and becomes a young lady that follows you. God, we love you so much for all you've done for us. It's your name we pray. Amen.